Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
Hey, it is so good to be back with you guys. Terry and I are so honored to be back here serving with you. Thank you. We feel loved, supported, and prayed for over here, and we have missed you since we've been gone. We tell the world about you. I tell the world about you. There is no better church than First Baptist Church at the Fields. There is no better church, and we are so glad to be a part of that and to be a part of that with you on this journey. As our pastor just said, we're continuing this vision that he's put before us. And part of that vision is to increase our prayer ministry here at the church. So what I want you to do is to take your bulletin. If you've got your bulletin, we are going to have what we call the pastor's prayer partners. The pastor's prayer partners. And you'll read on the back, it says, be a part of the strategic spiritual vision of our church by signing up as a pastor's prayer partner. Each week you'll receive a brief focused update with specific ways to pray. And we're asking for at least 365 of you to sign up today. If we can get 365 of you to sign up today, we're asking that our church is being prayed for every single day of the year. So I'm going to encourage you today to sign up. There's a QR code. Sign up on the QR, or just click on the QR code. You can sign up today. And starting next week, you'll be getting a prayer request from the pastor and me. And we'll be sending that out on Wednesdays of each week so that you can be praying for the upcoming services and you can be praying for what's going on in the church. Like I said, it's so wonderful to be back and to be part of what God's doing here. When the pastor asked me to preach today, he said, you're going to be preaching the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery. I said, I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. What a way to welcome me back. But in all seriousness, today's topic it's serious. Today's topic is sensitive. And I pray as we delve into that today that God would do some things in our hearts and in our lives. I've got my notes here because as you guys know me pretty well, I deviate from my notes. So I'm trying not to deviate today because I think there are some things that the Lord has laid upon my heart that I think are important for us to hear. I'm going to show you this picture up here. It's a picture I think is close. I think we have it like, this is all the closest I could get to Garden of Eden, all right? But in the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve, what did he do? He gave them freedom. He gave them freedom to eat from any of the trees but one. But one. And they were what? They were enticed and they were intrigued, but they ignored God's best. They ignored God's best. They were intrigued by that they could not have. Now, I want to show you this next picture. This is kind of like us. We're like Adam and Eve. Now, I grew up in the country, okay? And the guy behind me was a ranch farmer, and his cattle would always go through our fence, just like this. And I think we're a lot like this cow here. The grass always does what? Looks greener on the other side of the fence. If I could only have that, if I could just get that, I'd be satisfied. We don't look at the consequences or the situations that will arise from our desire to be pleased either sexually or emotionally. So today, I pray one of four things. I'm going to tell you the four things that I want you to hopefully get out of it. And I'm going to tell you the three things that I'm going to be preaching about, okay? I'm going to do those right up front. The four things that I hope that we can achieve today, that our hearts will be encouraged to remain faithful to God, whether single or married. That our hearts will be encouraged to remain faithful to God, whether single or married. And if you are married, to remain faithful to your spouse. For those who have committed adultery, or those who are contemplating committing adultery, to confess and seek forgiveness. And lastly, for those of us who may be here today who've been affected by someone in your family who's committed adultery, this is my prayer today, that you will let the grace of God pour over you. So those are the four things I hope to achieve today in our lives. The three things that I'm going to talk to you about are these: the freedom from brokenness, the freedom from bondage, and the freedom of God's grace. The freedom from brokenness, the freedom from bondage, and the freedom in God's grace. From the very beginning, we see the purpose of God for man and woman. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 2. "And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. That is why the man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And they became one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." God intended the relationship between a husband and wife, between a man and woman, to be this. He intended it to be exclusive, restricted to that one person and not shared with others. It's to be exclusive, and it's to be intimate, to be deeply personal. Those were the two things that God intended from marriage. So to protect this institution, God said in the Ten Commandments, Exodus, if you have your Bibles, Exodus 20:14, the seventh commandment. So to protect this institution, God said this: do not commit adultery. To God, this institution is important, it's special, it's sacred. And from a biblical perspective, adultery violates the sacred covenant of God. Adultery is breaking the covenant by extramarital acts with someone else. This command to not commit adultery is designed by God to protect marriages, to protect families, and to protect relationships. The sexual relationship is sacred, but we have reduced it to a sensual and emotional pleasure. This commandment in principle covers all form of sexual misconduct outside of marriage. And God allows no justification for the ways we often seek to justify extramarital acts. Man seeks to justify his reasons for having them. We live in a society that says it's okay, and we live in this society that has become morally decaying. But in the eyes of God, the command he gave some 4,000 years ago is still in force today as it was when he gave it. But Jesus tells us about the heart of this command when he says in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He gives us the spirit of the law. I've often told some people as I prepared this, I wish I could have a room where I could just preach to the men and then preach to the ladies. Because when you dig deep into this, we see what Jesus is saying to us in principle and when he gives us the heart of the law. So as I begin to delve into this, I want to tell you, I've agonized over this sermon. When Brent asked me to preach it, I said, thank you. But this is what I've decided to do as I've come with this sermon to you is to just let God pour over it and not let it be weighed. So any type of physical, emotional, mental, visual, or digital sexual act outside of marriage is prohibited. Any physical, emotional, mental, visual, or digital sexual act outside of marriage is prohibited. Men seem to be the more visual ones. Women seem to be more the emotional ones. Solomon said in Proverbs, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice with the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? God intended the sexual relationship but to be in marriage. God doesn't give this command to limit sexual experience, but he gives it to give us freedom. Freedom from broken relationships. Freedom from the bondage of guilt and shame and loneliness. And freedom to live in his grace. The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, provides freedom. Listen to me. It provides freedom from the pain and destruction of broken relationships. Adultery is not just a private moral act. It's a relational betrayal. It betrays trust, family stability, a sense of security, and it shatters confidence. Adultery doesn't just affect two people. It does this. It sends out societal shockwaves. It's like taking a rock and throwing it into a pond, and you see the ripple effect that goes on for years. The betrayed spouse questions everything. Memories are now reinterpreted. Words lose credibility. Security disappears. Children are confused and futures become uncertain because now life has been broken. The adulterous act creates destabilization and brokenness. And God gives this command to protect the relationship you have with him. To protect the relationship you have with your family, with your spouse, and with others. When we violate this command, everything that once felt secure now feels uncertain. There's confusion, there's abandonment, there's isolation, there's divided loyalty, there's anger, there's damaged reputations. There's spiritual disillusionment. Adultery breaks relational, emotional, and spiritual bonds and foundations. When we break this commandment, we're a lot like Adam and Eve. We run from God and we hide. Obeying this command gives us freedom from brokenness. Freedom from brokenness. A second thing that I see this commandment does, you shall not commit adultery, provides freedom from bondage. An adulterous act or relationship always carries layers of guilt, shame, and loneliness. Adultery produces a myriad of consequences. God wants to protect you from this. So whether you're contemplating this or you have done this, there are consequences in the act. The command, you shall not commit adultery, gives us the freedom and protects us from guilt. Guilt is the awareness that you've done something wrong, that you have knowingly crossed a boundary. I can remember the first time I really felt guilt. I was a kid, and now listen, as I told you, I lived way out in the country, and I was the first kid on the bus in the morning and the last kid off the bus. All right, so I lived a long ways out. Now, I grew up riding the bus, and so my dad, as I got older, he said, listen, I don't want you to go to Miss Harmon's. Now, you got to know about Miss Harmon's, okay? Miss Harmon's was a candy store. But at the candy store, that's where all the high school kids hung out, and they would bring their marijuana. They would bring all their drugs. That's where all the fights were. That's where I saw my first fight, Wes, was at Miss Harmon's. So what was I intrigued to do as I got older? To go to Miss Harmon's, because I wanted Red Hots. Have you ever, man, when I was a kid, I loved Red Hots. I wanted Red Hots. And so I decided I'm going to Miss Harmon's. I got my backpack. I go to Miss Harmon's. I get my candy, and I realize I better get out of here. I get out of there. I get on the bus. Last kid off the bus, but I got to get on the bus. I get on the bus. I'm almost home. Guess what? My backpack's still at Miss Harmon's. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know what I was going to do. I did not tell my dad. I didn't tell dad that my backpack was Miss Harmon's, but all night long, I was worrying. One, I was worried that someone would steal my backpack, but I was worried that my dad would find out. And I had this tremendous guilt. And I remember I couldn't sleep because I was guilty. You know why? Because I violated what my dad wanted me to do. And I was more hurt that I had crossed the boundary with my father. So the next morning, baby, I was ready to get on that bus, and I hightailed it down to Miss Harmon's as fast as I could, and praise God, my backpack was there. I'll tell my dad that story today. I'll see him. Guilt is the awareness that we've done something wrong, a recognition of a violation. It's not just a moral guilt that we have, but an emotional guilt, a relational guilt, and a spiritual guilt that weighs heavily on us. Whether someone shares a biblical worldview or not, whether someone has a biblical worldview about adultery or not, adultery will bring tremendous guilt. It protects us from guilt. This law, this command of God, do not commit adultery. It also protects us from shame. Shame. Guilt says, I did something wrong. Shame says, I am something wrong. Shame says, I'm not the person I thought I was. Shame says, I've become what I do not want to be. Shame says, I've let those down who have trusted in me. So this shame produces hiding. What did Adam and Eve say? They hid because they were what? Naked, and they felt what? Shame. Shame puts us into hiding. It gives us where we want to be. It makes us silent. It makes us withdraw. Shame destroys and eats away at one's life. Listen, even if you're single here today, and you're doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing, it will destroy your life. Shame creates bondage that brings us captive to sin. You shall not commit adultery provides freedom from the bondage of guilt and from the bondage of shame. It also protects us from the bondage of loneliness. Adultery will not bring the connection one longs for. What it actually does, it isolates you from God and from others. As I was thinking about the cow sticking its head through the fence. So when I grew up and the cows would do that, normally they would get across the fence onto our property. And usually it was a calf or a young cow. And you know what they would do? They would moo until all the other cows came over to the fence because they were isolated and they wanted to get back over and they didn't know how to do it. So my brother and I would always be the ones that would herd the cows back across the fence. We'd have to go open the gate because they couldn't get back the way they came. You see, adultery isolates you from God and from others. Adultery separates us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Loneliness reflects a gap between a desired connection and an actual connection. Did you hear that? Loneliness reflects a gap between a desired connection and an actual connection. Okay, this is not in my notes, but I'm going to jump over there. I was watching the news the other day, and maybe you saw this. There is a coffee shop, where you can go in and date somebody in AI. Did anybody see that? That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. There are AI relationships. You see, loneliness reflects a gap between a desired connection. That person wants a connection with someone, but they don't have an actual connection. We lose our intimacy with God by looking for it in wrong places and with wrong people. What we think will be fulfilling actually brings isolation and pain and loneliness. Lastly, this command gives us freedom to live in God's grace. When we honor God with our obedience and our faithfulness, when we come in alignment under His word, when we put ourselves under His word, when we trust in His faithfulness, when we submit to His authority, we receive His blessing and we live in true freedom. When I come under the authority of God's word, when I come under the authority of His scripture, then I am living in freedom. But we also can find God's grace despite our failures. The Bible says, Paul says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So today's message is about grace, the freedom of grace. The Bible says that we're all sinners and that we need God's grace. This is what the Ten Commandments do. The Ten Commandments protect us, but they also expose to us sin and our flaws. The commandments unveil to you and me God's grace for us. The commandments unveil there is healing. The commandments unveil there is forgiveness. The commandments unveil there is restoration for us. Grace is one of the deepest and most life-changing concepts of Scripture. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Grace is God's unmerited favor and goodwill upon you and me. Here's the picture of God's grace. It's found in Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Grace is something you cannot earn. It's free. But I'm telling you, it's not cheap. on the cross, grace was paid for. Grace is something that we receive because we are sinners, because we can't improve on ourselves. Grace is God's kindness when we deserve judgment. Justice is not ignored. This is grace. It was satisfied on the cross. Grace was satisfied on the cross. Your sin, my sin, the Bible says that none of us are without sin, right? We violated these commandments, right? So what we have is God's grace. And God's grace is not, justice is not ignored, but it was satisfied. Grace restores relationships. Grace restores our relationships to God. Grace says you're pardoned. Grace says you're not condemned. True grace, though, it doesn't excuse our sin. It transforms us, the sinner. Grace transforms us, the sinners. If you have committed this sin in whatever way, your worst moment doesn't have to be the final word. Grace does. Grace does. And grace comforts those affected by the abandonment, the pain, the hurt, the wounds, and the loss caused by all adulterous acts of others. If you are here today, and maybe you've been wounded or hurt or have pain or have loss because of an adulterous act of another, either of a dad or a mom or a spouse or a parent, the pain you feel from a violated relationship, I know it's deep. I know it's profound. I know it's confusing, but I know this. God will walk through your suffering with you. He will not walk away from you. Don't walk away from God. If you're struggling with your worth, with your value, seek Him. Embrace what He says about you in His Word. The Bible says God sees our grief. Let God's grace pour over you today. Let God's love embrace you today. Let His peace restore you today. So if you're here and you've been affected by this sin, let the grace of God pour over your life. What did Jesus say to the religious leaders as the woman was caught in adultery and they wanted to stone her? Let the one who's never sinned cast the first stone. Amen. None of us are without sin. Grace, the freedom of grace, it's found in the cross. Amen. In the cross, we find strength to obey. So men and women here today, whether married or single, in the cross, we can have the strength to obey this command through the cross. In the cross, we can find obedience to be faithful. In the cross, we find salvation and forgiveness. Through the cross, God restores broken relationships, broken marriages, broken lives, and broken society. In the cross, we find grace. And the commandments reveal to us God's grace. Will you bow your head with me this morning? As you bow your head, I just want us to ask God, reveal to me what's in my life that I need to have your grace pour over? God, what's in my life that needs healing? God, what's in my life that needs your strength? If you're unfaithful, there is forgiveness. If you are hurting, there is healing. If you are struggling, there is strength. This morning, as I conclude this sermon, if you've been struggling with adulterous thoughts, adulterous acts, there'll be people in our connect room that would love to visit with you. If you want to visit in private, I will be around. I can get you connected with someone. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been broken because of someone in your family that's committed an adulterous act. We have people in our connect room that would love to visit with you. I'll be here to visit with you. Whatever God may be saying to you this morning, respond to him. I know this is a difficult message, but God is still the God of grace who wants to reveal himself to you in powerful ways. This morning, if you're here and you're without Jesus Christ, we want to show you how to have that relationship so that it can be restored. Just out the hall, down the hall, to my right, to your left, is the connect room. We'll have pastors there to meet you. Or maybe you would say, I want to join this church. I want to tell you, it's one of the greatest churches in the world. We would love to have you. Go to our connect room. There'll be people there to tell you how you can find, have a home here at this church to become a member. And I pray that today, whatever God may be saying or laying upon your heart, that you would obey. Or maybe you need to go talk to someone. Maybe you need to get a relationship right. Maybe it wasn't because of an adulterous act. Maybe it's just a broken relationship that needs to be mended. Father, may your Spirit do what your Spirit does to restore us to you through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.